Today's Gospel reading is taken from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. The Gospel writer Mark, as always, gives us more of a snapshot into Jesus' ministry. But even this snapshot of the beginning of Jesus' ministry tells us so much about the nature of God and his purposes. Today we will focus on one of the three parts of this Gospel reading, Jesus' baptism. So we begin the scene at the River Jordan, where John the Baptist has just proclaimed, "There is one coming after me who is greater than I. I am not good enough even to kneel down and untie his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Imagine you have come to the River Jordan to hear John, perhaps to be baptized, and you watch on at what happens, wondering about the words John is speaking. Who is the person he is referring to? At that moment, as you are standing there, you see a man come to John asking him to baptize him. John has already indicated that he is not worthy to do such a thing for one who is greater than him. So you wonder whether this is the one John is referring to. Is this the one greater than John? And then you watch on and see John taking this man into the River Jordan, just as he has done with everyone else, and plunges the man into the water. Nothing seems apparently different at this stage, so perhaps you wonder if this is the man that John was referring to. And in that split second moment, you then stand by and watch the most extraordinary scene. Immediately as he comes up out of the water, a dove comes down upon him, and you hear a voice from heaven saying, "You are my son, whom I love, and I am very pleased with you." Imagine how you would be feeling hearing the voice of God saying, "I love you," having witnessed something so extraordinary happening. Perhaps you are in disbelief. Perhaps you have put your face to the ground feeling awestruck. Perhaps it has made you cry. Maybe you look around to see how everyone else has responded. Was it just you that heard this? And then see that everyone else looks in awe. You realise that what you heard was true. God loves. We will keep a moment's silence as we think on the words we have heard God saying, and then the Gospel reading will be reread again. In the silence, we will think on what it feels like to hear God saying to each of us, "You are my child whom I love. I am very pleased with you."
At that time, Jesus came from the town of Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. Immediately, as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven open. The Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, and I am very pleased with you." Then the Spirit sent Jesus into the desert. He was in the desert for 40 days and was tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels came and took care of him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, preaching the good news from God. He said, "The right time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Change your hearts and lives and believe the good news."
I think the scene at the River Jordan we have just taken ourselves to is perhaps one of the most wonderful moments in the Gospel. It's a moment where God reveals to us his absolute love and delight. But before we even reach that moment where we hear the voice from heaven, we see the first revelation of God's nature, humility. The humility of Jesus who comes to John to be baptized just the same as everyone else. Jesus comes to his cousin John, John knowing Jesus is greater than he is, and knowing that Jesus will do far greater things than he can. But Jesus humbles himself, not wanting or expecting anything more than anyone else. And then we see God's revelation of love as he speaks to his son coming out of the water. Words that he wants us all to hear, not just about his son, but for ourselves too. It's reminiscent of the creation narrative in Genesis, when each day God takes delight in everything he created, including humankind. He loves us because he created us, and he loves his creation. And as John tells us in his gospel, he came to the world that was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to all who did accept him and believe in him, he gave the right to become children of God. They did not become his children in any human way, by any human parents or human desire. They were born of God. To those who believe, he gave them the right to become children of God. As his children, to us that believe, he also shouts down to us from heaven, saying, "You are my child, whom I love, and I am very pleased with you." This love is not earned. It is not a human love with conditions. It is so simple, but yet so often hard to believe. He created us, so he loves us. Lent is a time to think more deeply on our relationship with God. It's often a time reminiscent to the next part of Mark's gospel reading we heard today, when Jesus is driven out into the wilderness where he was tested and tempted. Having been tested, Jesus sympathises with our own weaknesses and what it is to be tested. But it's important to remind ourselves that in Jesus' time in the wilderness, we find in Matthew's gospel how Jesus overcame temptation through his knowledge of God, knowing who God is, who and what he was trusting in. We are all tested in this life. We all experience the bumps of life where we are knocked, hurt, and disappointed. Sometimes it's hard to imagine how there can be a God when we are in the middle of turmoil or see awful things going on around us. Jesus is coming to be with us, to humble himself to live our lives with all its difficulties, means that he knows exactly what it is to experience human life. But he also shows us the way. He shows us how to live our lives to God, to keep our hearts and minds on him. As we see through the Gospels, Jesus reveals at every stage the very nature of God in whom we place our trust. The scene at the River Jordan shows us two further aspects of his nature, humility and love, a divine love, a love beyond human comprehension.